KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A manhunt underway across New York City. Police searching for the gunman who shot and killed United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. ABC's Andrew Dimbert with more on some clues.
Sources now say bullet casings recovered at the scene have writing on them, including the words deny, defend, and depose. But police overnight not identifying a motive for the attack. Thompson's widow telling NBC he had received threats, but saying she doesn't know the details. United Health is the largest private health insurer in the U.S. Among companies in the health insurance market, United Health ranks highest when it comes to the percentage of claims denied, nearly twice the industry average.
The 64-year-old grandma who disappeared while looking for her cat outside Pittsburgh is believed dead. Police think she fell into an abandoned mine, a 30-foot sinkhole. Two kindergartners in critical condition after being shot at their school in Northern California. The gunman had been at the school for a meeting with the administrators. He shot and killed himself afterwards. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Do you have an actor you like to watch even if he or she is in a TV show or movie that isn't great? That's how I feel about Coleman Domingo, who is the star of the show Madness. Domingo plays an outspoken TV personality who rents an Airbnb in the secluded Pennsylvania woods to work on a book, but stumbles upon a murder. He ends up fighting for his life while trying to clear his name after being framed for the crime. I can't give it rave reviews, but it's not a bad thriller, mostly because of the performance of Domingo. Season 1 of The Madness is available to stream on Netflix. Speaking of Domingo, his film Sing Sing is one of 5 nominees for Best Picture by the Independent Spirit Awards. Other nominees include the Demi Moore horror film The Substance, modern-day Cinderella critics' darling Anora, A24's I Saw the TV Glow, and Amazon MGM's Nickel Boys, which will be in theaters December 13th. Many more nominations for many more award shows will be announced right around the corner, folks. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Packers and the Lions. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers in prime time again against the 11-1 Detroit Lions at Ford Field. Green Bay will be without defensive back Jaire Alexander and receiver Romeo Doubs, both dealing with injuries. The Lions have 2 good running backs, the powerful David Montgomery and speedy Jahmyr Gibbs. Packers nickelback Javon Bullard.
I mean, they got 2 guys, like you said, that can really go. 2 different styles of running, 2 different styles of schemes that they use. So we got to be tied into both of those guys. Each of them are very special.
NBA, the Bucks losing at home to the Atlanta Hawks, 119-104. Giannis led with 30 points, Damian Lillard 25. Head coach Doc Rivers.
I thought Giannis and Dame almost tried to will the game, which is probably not good either because exerting so much energy there. So, you know, one thing I wish I had played like 12 in the first half. I actually talked about that with my staff. I thought we should have done it and kind of got talked out of it.
The Bucks head to Boston to play the Celtics tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. It drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Caribou Coffee's Faith Flynn makes the popcorn pick of the week. Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogie talks Christmas events around the state. Then we wrap up with WBAY morning show host Emerson Lehman. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy and cold today, but it is not going to be windy. Our high right around 20 this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 7 above. Could see a few flurries overnight tomorrow. Mostly cloudy in the low 20s. We'll bounce back into the mid to upper 30s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project and a Green Bay Packer owner, will be here to talk politics and preview the Packers. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Well, there may not be a lot of snow around Wisconsin, but the bitter cold is here. Welcome to a Thursday, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Boy, I'll tell you what, it is going to be bitterly cold today across the state of Wisconsin. There'll be sunshine out there, but our daytime highs no better than 24. And when you factor in a blustery wind out of the northwest, gusting up to 30 miles an hour, our wind chill values are going to be between 0 and 10 below. Tomorrow, sunshine, 29, and the winds die down a little bit. Saturday, sunny, and believe it or not, 40 degrees. Same thing on Sunday. Sunshine and 49. Only in Wisconsin can you go from that kind of a drastic nastiness to halfway decent weather. We'll get the weather details. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, of course, joining us in about 15 minutes. Mike North, commodity specialist with EverAg and Platteville, is also going to be joining us this morning, focused in on what's driving our dairy markets. Got a nice little rally yesterday on cheese and butter prices. Is it about late holiday buying, or is it about getting ahead on 2025? We'll find out what Mike's got to say about that. And the Midwest food processors are finalizing their convention today up in Wisconsin Dells. Ben Jarboe headed that direction. And something as simple as the cost of steel could be impacting your pocketbook at the grocery store. Those are just a few of the items we've got for you this morning.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Did you ever imagine that the high cost of steel would be impacting your pocketbook at the grocery store? Well, it is. Found out about it this week. The Midwest food processors are gathered together in Wisconsin Dells. Ben Jarboe's been on the road for us. He's got that story in just a moment. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Want to remind you, our talk text line is always open to you, whether it's commenting about the weather. Maybe you had a tough driving experience like my husband did yesterday. Or maybe it's something about holiday preparations. Maybe it's a question for Mike North from EverAg. He's going to be joining us live this morning. Whatever it is, feel free to use our talk text line and communicate with me. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. So today is the 5th day of December. Honestly, not a lot of big bullet points that I could pull up today. On this day in 1766, Christie's Auction House held their very first sale. It was an art auction house. The founder, James Christie, made his first art sale on this day back in 1766. And of course, it's still around. On this day in 1933, I think a whole lot of people tipped a glass or two. It was the end of Prohibition in the United States. The national ban on alcohol had started in 1920, and suddenly it ended on this day in 1933. And now you know. Well, I mentioned part of the story. High cost of steel could be impacting your grocery store prices. How? Well, let's catch up with Ben Jarboe and find out.
For many years, the Midwest Food Products Association has been working hard to make sure consumers get the nutritious produce they need. But this has not come without its challenges. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report, and as acres to produce diminish, it has created some issues for the food products industry. Jason Collada, the president of the Midwest Food Products Association, joins me to speak on some of the key problems they are facing and how they are working to combat them.
Well, our roots with this association are really in Wisconsin's canning.
Every year, it gets harder for livestock owners to produce. This is because animal rights groups are becoming more and more fierce in their tactics. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and I am joined by Emily Ellis, the communications manager at the Animal Agriculture Alliance, and she is here to explain some of the new tactics being used by the activists, as well as what we could possibly see in Madison, Wisconsin from these activists in the future.
Animal rights activism is nothing new. We've seen animal rights activists engage in this space for quite a while, but their tactics and trends that they use to target animal agriculture continues to change and evolve. Some of the big tactics that we're seeing right now is direct targeting of farmers and ranchers, particularly with criminal trespass and animal theft. There has been a big movement behind what these animal rights extremists call the right to rescue, where they are essentially trespassing onto farms, stealing animals, claiming that the animals were sick, abused, need saving. So we're doing a lot with trying to promote farm facility security measures, things that farmers and ranchers can put in place on their farm proactively to protect themselves from these potential incidences. We're also seeing a lot of targeting of restaurant retail food service brands. So activists have found that they can leverage what farmers and ranchers are doing on the farm by getting to those restaurant retail food brands and getting them to adopt certain policies that ultimately are driving up the cost for farmers and ranchers to stay in business and are also driving up the cost of meat, dairy, poultry, eggs, and seafood in the grocery store as well. So those are probably some of the biggest tactics that we're following from those groups.
Well, when you take a look at those tactics, has the amount of the occurrences been rising recently?
I would say the number of incidences from these animal rights groups is roughly the same compared to the last few years. We do put out a radical vegan activism report, which looks at those documented actions throughout the year. Our most recent report, the numbers are pretty much on par with previous years, that nearly one-third of these attacks from animal rights activists are targeting farmers and food workers. So it does seem that they continue to be a large target for these groups.
And you're mentioning that these groups are also targeting restaurants where where the farmers are trying to sell their product to, whether it be, you know, like beef, pork, or even milk. What are some of the types of restaurants? Is it large, like, national restaurants, or is it more local type of restaurants?
It seems to be a trend from the animal rights groups that they're looking for well-known names, even when it comes to targeting farms. If they can connect that farm to a larger known food brand, that's what's going to get them media attention. That's what's going to get them traction for their movement, which is really what they want. So I would say in general, they target those larger name brands that people would know and recognize.
And now if we look more into the future, there are some ballot initiatives going on. Could you explain a little bit more about what those are?
Ballot measures are another tactic that we've seen increasingly used by animal rights activists to, again, force changes on farmers and ranchers. The ballot initiative process is pretty successful typically for animal rights groups because it relies on the general public to determine certain practices, and if they don't understand those practices, it's very hard to reach every consumer to share animal agriculture's perspective. Most recently, at the November election, there were four ballot measures that we were following, two in California, two in Denver. Thankfully, only one of them passed. It was a CAFO ban in Berkeley, California, which is right outside of San Francisco. Only one facility was impacted by the ban in Berkeley, Golden Gate Fields, which is a horse racing facility. But it does set a precedent. Now that this has passed, it's very likely that we're going to see similar measures in other places throughout the country. Similarly, in another county in California that's much more heavy in agriculture, they were facing a similar CAFO ban. So we do expect to see that trend continue into the future. And then in Denver, Colorado, we were seeing two measures, one wanting to outlaw processing facilities in Denver, and then one wanting to prohibit the sale of fur products. So similarly, we have heard from the activist groups behind those measures in Denver. They do already have their sights set on some other cities to reenact similar initiatives, including Madison, Wisconsin, Ann Arbor, Michigan. So we do expect to see some of those ballot measures crop up in the 2026 election cycle as well.
Well, right there, you're mentioning Madison, Wisconsin. Do you know what kind of ballot they're trying to push through there?
This is all speculation at this point. It's the organizer of Pro Animal Future, which is the group behind the Denver ballot initiatives. He had been on a recent podcast. He had given a list of maybe 10 to 12 cities that they were potentially looking at. So we don't know for sure if there will be one in that area, but it has been pinpointed as a potential area. And we've also heard from them that based on how things went in Denver, they do plan to take a look at what went well, what they could change, and try to get some momentum, because they have stated that they want the animal rights issue to become a political mainstream issue. So I think for them, it's wherever they can get the most media attention and hopefully, again, try to get this to pass so they can build on that momentum and continue taking it other places.
And what are you guys doing to help trying to kind of combat what they're doing, try to keep it so farmers still have a place for everything and spread the good word about animal agriculture here in the U.S.?
At the Animal Agriculture Alliance, we're really trying to correct a lot of this misleading information and highlight the true intentions of these organizations. There's a very big difference between animal welfare and animal rights. At the Animal Agriculture Alliance, we are very big supporters of animal welfare, of the ethical care of these animals on the farm. But on the animal rights side, they do not believe that animals should be used for any purpose, including food production. They want everyone to adopt a vegan diet, so it's a very extreme mindset. So for us, it's about trying to engage farmers and ranchers to share their story. We're trying to do our part to share those stories as well, but then also trying to share those true intentions of the organization so that people are aware this is much deeper than what might appear on the surface.
Emily Ellis from the Animal Agriculture Alliance catching up with our friend Ben Jarbo from the Midwest Farm Report at our recent National Association Farm Broadcasting Convention. They are working diligently during the holiday season to combat misinformation about animal rights groups that are posed as humane societies, as ASPCAs. Make sure you're doing your research if you're still planning on giving in the holiday season. Emily Ellis, along with Ben Jarbo, on the Midwest Farm Report.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. If you ever need proof that your vote matters, consider a Minnesota House race decided by only 15 votes. Or was it? 21 absentee ballots are missing, and hanging in the balance are not only who wins the district, but who wins control of the Minnesota State House. House District 54A serves Greater Shakopee, a Minneapolis suburb in Scott County. Minnesota Public Radio reports that after a recount November 21st, the Democratic Farmer Labor Party's Brad Tabke gained one vote and led by 15 votes over Republican challenger Aaron Paul. Tabke was declared the winner. During the recount, however, secrecy envelopes for 21 absentee ballots, which had been logged as received by election workers in October, were unaccounted for. County officials are still investigating, but don't think the ballots from those envelopes were counted, and suspect they were accidentally bailed and later shredded sometime before Election Day. Partisan control of the Minnesota House is tied 67-67, and the outcome of the Tabke-Paul race has huge consequences for both sides. November 29th, Paul contested the race in Scott County District Court, claiming county election officials violated Minnesota's election law, and because of the irregularities, a new election should be conducted. We have the court challenge and links to detailed local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. We're now posting on Blue Sky Social at Democracy Minute.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday on Up North News Radio, the president's pardon of his son, Hunter Biden, gives us all a lesson in the power of grace to help others struggling with addiction.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
For the Thanksgiving remains to not need to be in the refrigerator, if you know what I mean. Wisconsin refrigeration. A couple of folks still commenting about the winds and needing even more rocks in your pocket today. So I'm glad that they're trying to keep their spirit about this all. Buck drove home from Green Bay last night, and he said that it was near whiteout conditions coming down through the Fox Valley.
Yeah, the snow blew like crazy. I was over in Sheboygan County, came back in the afternoon. My wife was down around Milwaukee, came back last evening, and said, you drive along, it was great, and all of a sudden, it would be just a white blast. You couldn't see a thing, and the wind was a bigger deal even than with that snow around. Fortunately enough, the snow is going to be done for us now, but we still have some pretty strong winds around today. I'd expect winds to gust somewhere around that 20 and 30 mile per hour range, not quite the 40 or 45 we had yesterday, but still breezy. High pressure is building in from the west. That strong low that brought that little snow that came in sideways, that's heading up into eastern parts of Canada and away from us. The radar indicating the UP and the lower peninsula with lake effect snows today. Far northern Wisconsin seeing a little snow yet. For most of us, though, we dry it out. In fact, a little better chance for some sunshine today, tomorrow, into the weekend. Temperatures able to moderate. Here's the one I'm looking forward to, a little outdoor time this weekend, because I expect even in southern Wisconsin that we'll find our way into the 40s, close to a Saturday in the 40s Sunday with sunshine. Yeah, a stronger southwest breeze ahead of the next system, and there could be a little rain chance wrapping up the weekend late Sunday night and then into Monday. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Cheese, sausage, and advent calendars, keeping my friends at Bavaria Sausage busy these days. Fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke reminding you, if you want to put a smile on somebody's face, if you want to make sure that client knows how valuable they are to you, then do your shopping at Bavaria Sausage. Old recipes, new labels, and everything holiday in their store at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Always open online at BavariaSausage.com, where you'll see 12 options when it comes to gift boxes. If you don't see what you like, they're happy to custom create your package. But remember again, if they're mailing it and you want it to arrive by Christmas, they need that order by December 8th. The holiday spirit is alive and well at Bavaria Sausage, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, or online, BavariaSausage.com. Old recipes, new labels at Bavaria Sausage.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
All righty, buddy. Let's talk a little bit about what's coming our way today and kind of tie a knot and hang on until the weekend, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be that way. Still have to hold on today because of winds, but I expect a lot of sunshine, except in far northwest Wisconsin, where a little snow may still fall. And for most of us, heading up at least into the low 20s, the upper teens way up north, The northwest winds 10 to 20, still gusting near 30 or so today, so kind of breezy. Clearing it out overnight, again, cool like this morning. In the single digits or very low double digits for lows, the northwest winds 5 to 15. Mostly sunny Friday, a little improvement, upper 20s, maybe a 30 here or there. West winds 5 to 15, and Saturday mostly sunny, into the 30s, maybe a 40 in the south. Southwest winds still 5 to 15, a little breezy Sunday, Pam, but I'd expect a mid or upper 40 almost anywhere with the southwest wind.
That's what we got to hang on today, aside from everything else we own, you know, with this.
Well, yeah, just to carry the extra ballast, you'll be fine.
All right, man, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks. Have a good one.
All right, see ya.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, just got to try to hang in there, folks. It is going to change, and it's all what's happening in Wisconsin weather today. We've got more food and fiber news on the way for you on a Thursday. Stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that, to me, is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Zommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
What's your kink?
Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A manhunt underway across New York City. Police searching for the gunman who shot and killed United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. ABC's Andrew Dimbert with more on some clues.
Sources now say bullet casings recovered at the scene have writing on them, including the words deny, defend, and depose. But police overnight not identifying a motive for the attack. Thompson's widow telling NBC he had received threats, but saying she doesn't know the details. United Health is the largest private health insurer in the U.S. Among companies in the health insurance market, United Health ranks highest when it comes to the percentage of claims denied, nearly twice the industry average.
The 64-year-old grandma who disappeared while looking for her cat outside Pittsburgh is believed dead. Police think she fell into an abandoned mine, a 30-foot sinkhole. Two kindergartners in critical condition after being shot at their school in Northern California. The gunman had been at the school for a meeting with the administrators. He shot and killed himself afterwards. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If it's huge blockbusters or holiday films you're looking for in theaters this weekend, you will have to see films that are already released. But if you're not ready to throw yourself into the world of holiday films just yet, or are in the mood for some offbeat, quirky flicks, this could be your weekend. Comedy sci-fi Y2K rolls out Friday and takes us back to 1999 when the world was in a panic over what would happen when the clock struck midnight on New Year's Eve. The film follows two high schoolers who crash a New Year's Eve party and end up fighting for their lives. If you're in the mood for a Lou Diamond Phillips movie, and who isn't, check out the horror film Werewolves, which also stars Frank Grillo, but has not yet been reviewed, so beware. If you're looking for a comedy horror, the film Night opens this week in wide release as well. The film stars Amy Adams playing a mom who takes time off work to stay home with her kids, but finds herself turning into a dog. I did not misspeak. Despite the offbeat storyline, the film is pulling a 63 on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Packers and the Lions. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers in primetime again against the 11-1 Detroit Lions at Ford Field. Green Bay will be without defensive back Jaire Alexander and receiver Romeo Doubs, both dealing with injuries. The Lions have two good running backs, the powerful David Montgomery and speedy Jahmyr Gibbs. Packers nickelback Javon Bullard.
I mean, they got two guys, like you said, that can really go. Two different styles of running, two different styles of schemes that they use. So we got to be tied into both of those guys. Each of them are very special.
NBA, the Bucks losing at home to the Atlanta Hawks, 119-104. Giannis led with 30 points, Damian Lillard 25. Head coach Doc Rivers.
I thought Giannis and Dame almost tried to will the game, which is probably not good either because exerting so much energy there. So, you know, one thing I wish I had played like 12 in the first half. I actually talked about that with my staff. I thought we should have done it and kind of got talked out of it.
The Bucks head to Boston to play the Celtics tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, Earl Ingram Jr. will join me. Are democracies around the world under threat, or is democracy just old-fashioned? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy and cold today, but it is not going to be windy. Our high right around 20 this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 7 above. Could see a few flurries overnight tomorrow. Mostly cloudy in the low 20s. We'll bounce back into the mid to upper 30s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Dom Selvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
They were more recent. They're all in. They're officially signed.
Did you ever imagine that the high cost of steel would be impacting your pocketbook at the grocery store? Well, it is. Found out about it this week. The Midwest food processors are gathered together in Wisconsin Dells. Ben Jarboe's been on the road for us. He's got that story in just a moment. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Want to remind you, our talk text line is always open to you, whether it's commenting about the weather. Maybe you had a tough driving experience like my husband did yesterday. Or maybe it's something about holiday preparations. Maybe it's a question for Mike North from Everag. He's going to be joining us live this morning. Whatever it is, feel free to use our talk text line and communicate with me. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. So today is the fifth day of December. Honestly, not a lot of big bullet points that I could pull up today. On this day in 1766, Christie's Auction House held their very first sale. It was an art auction house. The founder, James Christie, made his first art sale on this day back in 1766. And of course, it's still around. On this day in 1933, I think a whole lot of people tipped a glass or two. It was the end of Prohibition in the United States. The national ban on alcohol had started in 1920, and suddenly it ended on this day in 1933. And now you know. Well, I mentioned part of the story. High cost of steel could be impacting your grocery store prices. How? Well, let's catch up with Ben Jarboe and find out.
For many years, the Midwest Food Products Association has been working hard to make sure consumers get the nutritious produce they need. But this has not come without its challenges. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report, and as acres to produce diminish, it has created some issues for the food products industry. Jason Collada, the president of the Midwest Food Products Association, joins me to speak on some of the key problems they are facing and how they are working to combat them.
Well, our roots with this association are really in Wisconsin's canning of vegetables. And so we have a lot of canning and freezing members from that legacy industry. And there have been some challenges. There's been a lot of consolidation in that industry. But in particular, this area, the upper Midwest, is a real strong, a powerhouse, if you will, of producing sweet corn, green beans, peas. We are rivaled only by Washington State, really, when it comes to producing those crucial processing crops for the canned and frozen vegetable industry.
Are any regulations making it harder to be able to produce these crops, like with regulations on herbicides and that kind of thing? How hard has that been in the past, let's say, 20 years for the industry as a whole?
Yeah, no, that's a really key issue that we have to contend with. So there's a pressure from wanting to improve water quality and public health concerns. And then there's a desire to improve those standards. And what we run into is there are certain crops that may only have one or two crop treatments available. And if they are removed because of those concerns, and they're legitimate concerns, we run into trouble because we don't have other tools in the toolbox. And so one of the things that we try to do with our association in particular is fund research through the University of Wisconsin and the University of Minnesota, where we're trying to develop alternatives for those crop treatments, whether new ones that can be registered through IR4, or if there's things we can do on the growing side or on the breeding side to avert the need for crop treatments.
Well, when you take a look at these specialty crops, another issue that a lot of people talk about is they think everything's GMO and that it's bad and that kind of thing. Are you seeing a lot of that in the industry, and part of speculation about what's going on with the produce?
Ben, I appreciate you bringing that up, because we hear that a lot. And the truth is that the specialty crops that we produce in the upper Midwest, you will not find GMO crops for human consumption. Of course, with field corn, with soybeans, which we don't represent, you have those issues arise, especially on the animal side. But for us on the specialty crops, we do not produce GMO crops. And in all the product we have, it's a constant battle where people assume that we're adding all these things. And typically, it's the crop itself that's in the can or the frozen bag, right? But in the can, for example, it'll be the crop, it'll be some water, and there may be some salt. And it tastes better with the salt than without.
Well, and I'm sure another issue that this industry is running into, as long as the rest of agriculture, is a labor shortage. People aren't wanting to go out and be farmers and work with produce and plants and stuff anymore. What is the industry doing to try to combat that?
Yeah, like you said, with any industry in America today, that's a real challenge. So we have a couple of solutions. First of all, probably a half dozen of our member companies have resorted to using seasonal workers, almost all of whom come from Texas and come up for a portion. It might be June to November or some place within there. The sweet corn crop is the most labor intensive, so we tend to get more workers as the season goes on. And these are hardworking folks who want to come up. Many of them have done this type of work for 3 and 4 generations. Sometimes they'll all come together and work, which is impressive, and there's a lot of pride in those companies and the families that have worked in the same company for that length of time. But we still really struggle. Many of our plants are located in rural areas, and in times past, our seasonal help was the football team or something like that, and that labor is not available as it was in times past. So there's a lot of attention on automation and what can we do in food processing to reduce the need for labor, particularly when it's like a work comp type situation where heavy lifting there's been a big move toward palletizers and depalletizers and equipment like that that's robotic. And if there are further places we can do that, we are always looking for improvements that can be done. And we're really not looking to replace jobs, but we're looking to finding technology that can fill in where we don't have the labor to help.
After years of hard work to help better the industry, Jason Culotta announced that he will be stepping down from being president of the Midwest Food Products Association, and that Nick Novak will be taking over the role. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Well, we got a nice little pop yesterday as far as the dairy markets were concerned. Barrel cheese went up a penny and three quarters, 166 and three quarters. 40-pound block cheese, that went up three, 170. AA butter, penny and three quarters higher to 254 a pound. We'll talk more about dairy when Mike North from EverEgg joins us in just a couple minutes live on the Midwest Farm Report. In overnight electronic trade this morning, we're a little bit mixed. The corn market's pretty quiet. March corn unchanged at 429. January soybeans are up four at 987. The March wheat is up 3.5 at 552, with July new crop up 3.5 at 566. Now, our January class 3 milk, that's a little softer right now, down a nickel, but still at 1905 a hundredweight. January 21st, I want you to write that down on your calendar. That is when the 2025 UW Ag Outlook Forum is going to be happening. It's on the UW-Madison campus, but it's also available online. I talked about it yesterday with Dr. Paul Mitchell. He's in charge of the Rank Agribusiness Institute, which coordinates the forum. They are definitely trying something different this year. Not only the formatics and interaction with the audience, but the focal point. Mitchell said that every year he tries to change it up to get a bigger, broader audience talking about the future of Wisconsin agriculture, food processing, all of it. And this year, he's decided to focus on what we do know about the Trump administration.
I really wanted to find experts who could offer us new perspectives, to hear from people we don't normally hear from about issues that are important to all of us in Wisconsin, here in Wisconsin Ag especially. So we brought in Nick Paulson. He's a professor at the University of Illinois, who's on the President's Council of Economic Advisors during the first Trump administration for a year. We got Chuck Nicholson to talk about dairy, where that's going with trade. We got Chris DeLong to talk about, he's one of the major exporters here in the U.S. of specialty grains out of southern Wisconsin. And we got ag law. We've got small businesses. We got a lot of perspectives.
Dr. Paul Mitchell with the Rank Agribusiness Institute on the UW-Madison campus. Like I said, the date, Tuesday, January 21st, from 10 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon at Union South. And there is the virtual element as well. We'll be posting this later today up on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. You'll also be hearing that full conversation with me and Dr. Mitchell in the next couple of days. But I want to put that date in your head. That's Tuesday, January 21st, for the next UW Ag Outlook Forum, Trump 2.0. What can Wisconsin agriculture, agribusiness, food processors expect? Dr. Paul Mitchell, coordinating the show. Well, he is the show for us. Coming up next, Mike North joining us, one of the primary brokers with EverEgg out of Platteville. He'll catch up with us next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. Next up, Tom Paulswitz joins me in the co-host chair. We're going to talk about the arguments before the Supreme Court about transgender care rights. Next. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
List with EverAg out of Platteville is actually in Minneapolis joining us this morning at another conference. It's that time of the year, buddy. You must just kind of keep a bag by the door, don't you?
Hey, that's exactly what I do, and swap them in between.
Yeah,
definitely a busy time.
There are a lot of things to be discussed, though, in the dairy industry, not the least of which, what's going on with our cheese market? I mentioned we got a little pop on the action yesterday, but we don't seem to be able to hang on to much momentum these days.
Well, we are slowly starting to see optimism forming around the export space. You know, as we retrace our steps the last several weeks, we've watched as, you know, the markets have kind of found a little bit of a plateau to land on, coming down off of some of those big peaks from late summer, early fall. And, you know, the real question has been, are we going to garner some interest from foreign buyers, given the fact that we've come so far and gotten a little bit disjointed with the rest of the world? GDT prices trading lower on Tuesday as we watch cheddar prices drop a little over 4%, mozzarella prices coming down a little over 3%. And, you know, by the time you continue to do the math, you know, just the sheer difference in cheddar price is from where we were earlier in the week, almost a 50-cent gap. We've closed about 10 cents of that with the movement lower in GDT, the 6-7 cent run up here in spot trade. And all things considered, I think the world is giving us some notice. And anecdotally, we're picking up stories of exports starting to move into different regions and contracts being written. This may take a little while to, you know, functionally realize inside of the reporting mechanisms that we have here, because of the fact that, you know, you have to make the commitments, move the product to port, get it on a boat, ship it, it hits the export wires, which, you know, are always operating in arrears. So this could be a little bit like last year, where December pricing invited, you know, exports that lived with us through the spring and into summer and really created the storyline that captivated the dairy markets. And, you know, we've watched as, you know, we've had kind of the whey and powder market, you know, make its run in the shadows of cheese and butter. And now we're, you know, watching now as maybe cheese and butter might start to become a real export opportunity for us as we look forward.
Mike North joining us live this morning. He's up in Minneapolis. He's with the EverAg crew. I always want to remind you, if you're looking for risk management of any kind or strategy planning or a great speaker at that, go to ever.ag. Hey, let's talk a little bit. You mentioned about how, you know, we got to make the sale. There are sales going to a lot of our mature markets, our traditional buyers. Anybody new coming in, though, Mike? There's a lot of work being done in the dairy industry to reach into different markets, Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, non-traditional markets, I'll call them. Are we seeing any success there? Are you seeing any of that resulting on those export sales?
Yeah, we are seeing that here and there. And I think it's important to remember that in these developing countries, as their taste preferences start to lean towards some of our product, that still one of the best ways to capture their interest is with price. And so when we get into these, you know, anomalic type of environments where we can go very easily to compete against our, you know, biggest competitors of Europe and Oceania, that price opportunity really starts to crack the door open for us. And so, you know, as we develop some of these markets, especially in Asia, it really is a good place to expand our footprint. But, you know, global markets are kind of fickle that way. You know, you look at what's been going on in South Korea the last few days. South Korea has been a formidable partner for us. And when you see instability there, you kind of almost need to have some of these new territories, new countries open up just so that you can keep the balance in some of this ongoing flux of instability that you see either politically or economically.
Now, I know you're on the road and we were talking. Just, you only have about 45 seconds, buddy. Tell them what is going to be going on in Las Vegas and why you're there.
Sure. So Farm Journal holds their annual milk business conference, gathering dairy folks from all over the country. They bring together a really strong agenda, and I'll be one of the entertainers, if you will, talking markets among some of the other content that's all being provided.
Well, safe travels, my buddy, and happy holidays. I'll talk to you in the new calendar year, okay?
Looking forward to it, Pam.
Beautiful. Mike North joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report. Again, he is one of the big deals in dairy, and the big deal definitely at ever.ag. Thanks for joining us.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Matt Nair on Air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you live on a farm or other rural residence with a private water well, you'll want to hear today's edition of Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back-to-back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
When was the last time you tested your well water on the farm? Same goes for other wells in rural locales. This is Stacy Minson, a watershed specialist with Kansas State University Extension.
Those private domestic wells for household use, nobody's regulating those. Those are up to that private well owner. So we need to start deciding every year, 1st of January, 15th of July, we put a note in our calendars or on our phone so we get a reminder to test those private wells.
Minson recommends testing regularly, especially if farming activities happen right next to a well.
If we would have a feeding area right above this private well, if that well head is not secure and sealed, we could have that bacteria and that nitrate running into that well head, contaminating that private domestic drinking water well and not even know it. You know, if we're mixing fertilizer, filling the spray tanks right by the well, which, you know, we need the water, just paying attention because we could easily contaminate wells and not even think anything of it because that's where we've always done that.
A link for info on the private drinking water well program in every state is available on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll see how feisty those winds are with Brittany Merlot and a little weather and wine. We talk sports with J.R. Ratcliffe and wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Zommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink?
Snowman. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry.